Wow, I think, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. You're thinking, wow, how have I been affording getting gouged so bad? It's time to make the switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. And I mean, Mint Mobile's quality of wireless service is unbelievable. Say bye-bye to the overpriced wireless plan, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. They slow you down and completely screw with you. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you. With premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with your existing contacts. Ditched overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited plan deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. Get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for only $15 a month. Go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower than 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fee, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Welcome to the Bubba the Love Sponge After Show. A little bit later, me and Blitz were talking some business. Lummy got very excited.
Of course.
Lummy found out about a situation that we were, the topic that we were talking about. Lummy's like, they do that? And we're like, yeah. And they're like, oh my God, I like them so much better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is the Gare Bear. Hello? Looks like maybe not. Anna, how you doing?
Great.
We didn't really even get into you and Blitz's Easter. I actually had a good Easter. I had my sister's lasagna, and it was just a very...
Sour vagina?
I saw... Well,
sour pussy lip?
She thinks I saw her pussy, but I didn't.
Oh.
Well, my mom did. My mom did, and my mom told her, Tara, your pussy's hanging out.
Well, we did legs.
I posted on... okay. I posted on our Facebook today. Let me show you guys mm-hmm. a little picture of just me, my mom, and Tara for Easter. It's kind of cute, I think. Let me see here. Here we go. Hold on.
Aw, you look good.
You
look skinny.
Well, stop.
I mean, you do.
Tara looks good, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you all look good.
Look at my little Janie.
You look good, but the shadow makes it look like you have a black eye.
It kind of does.
Yeah, shiner.
Yeah. Kind of does.
With my
Warsaw, Indiana gimmick on. That's on our Facebook, which hopefully some people are watching us on our Facebook.
We're there.
Facebook, YouTube. I guess I could probably get rid of these now, couldn't I? I could probably delete that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right here.
Yes.
Delete that. Mm-hmm. There we go. Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck. I didn't mean to do that. Sorry.
It's okay. Uh-oh.
Can you pot up Alexa and try something?
Yeah, whatever you need me to do.
So say,
ask Alexa. Ask her who Blitz K is?
No, say, Alexa, enable Bubba Army, or I'm sorry, enable skill Bubba Army Radio.
Alexa, enable skill Bubba Army Radio.
Did I do it? Okay, right? Here's Bubba Army Radio. Now playing Bubba Army Radio.
Cage. You look good, but the shadow makes it look like you have a black eye.
Oh, there you
go.
Alexa, tell her to stop.
Shiner.
Yeah. Alexa, stop.
Cut it up.
Now, thanks for listening to Bubba Army Radio.
Now do it and just say, Alexa, play Bubba Army Radio.
Okay. Alexa, play Bubba Army Radio.
Now playing Bubba Army Radio.
Couldn't I? Yeah, you could probably, there you go. Could probably delete
wow.
that.
Wow.
So anyone that does it, they have to say enable skill first.
Right. Yes.
And then from then on out, just play. But the first time you do it, you have to say enable skill.
There you go. Oh, fuck.
Well, how are we going to be able to get that word out?
Oh, fuck. Sorry.
It's okay.
Maybe put it on our Instagram, our Facebook, our TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever you need me to do.
So say,
ask her who Blitz K is.
No, say Alexa. You can enable probably stop now. Bubba Army, or I'm sorry, enable skill.
I like
Bubba
listen. Army. I like double track, maybe triple track.
To myself,
Alexa,
to me.
Listen to me.
Skill,
listen to myself.
Bubba Army Radio.
Okay.
I want to hear it again.
Here's Bubba Army Radio. Now playing Bubba Army Radio.
You look good, but the shadow makes it look like you have a black eye.
Oh, there you
go.
Alexa, tell her to stop.
Yeah. Alexa, stop.
Alexa, oh, that wasn't live.
That wasn't live.
Fuck you, Blitz. You got me. You got me.
That was not live.
Now, Alexa, stop.
Now do it and just say. All right, so now you're good.
So they got to say her name. So I'm going to say Rhonda.
Yeah.
Rhonda. Then you say what?
Enable skill.
Enable skill.
Bubba Army Radio.
Bubba Army Radio.
Yep.
And then they'll do
and
that.
Then from then, and then once you do that once, then you can just say play Bubba Army Radio.
Right. Perfect. Finally.
I know.
We are really, really getting after it.
Mm-hmm.
What if Big Woody comes? Just tell him to jump right on the show.
Actually, Brett, I think he's at the gate.
Hey,
yeah, and just tell him to get right on the show. Do you guys got the hard drive for
him? Yeah. Yeah, the thumb drive, yeah.
Yeah, so I was just going
to... Oh, middle mic, though, is...
You want me to... I'll take
it. And also turn on and off the camera, Lum.
Okay. Can you turn off the mic at the...
At three?
It's off. Yeah, it's off. And we'll just put him in there, and I'll tell him what my vision is.
Okay.
You know, I could just go through here. Just
careful on some of them.
Well, yeah.
Especially with where we're at right now.
Oh, yeah, you're right, you're right. Let me see here. Gotta find... I probably could just type outs and ins, but at the end of the day, I can just probably find them right here on the, here we go. Here's one. Let me see.
Yeah, like the BRN and or BTLS.
Is it BTLS promo club? They're all BTLS, are they not?
Oh, no, there's some BRN too.
There's some BRN too?
Correct, yeah.
All right, hold on here. Bubba 199. I hear
one, see? BTLS out 17,
yeah.
15.
Yeah, but we don't know what it's going to say.
No.
Let me see here. I'll get ready to...
Hey, we'll be right back. Back with more of the Bubba Love Sponge Show.
Howard 101.
All right, so hold on here.
The Bubba the Love Sponge Show.
It's the Bubba the Love Sponge Show. And it's only on Howard 101.
Is Woody coming in?
Yeah.
It's the Bubba Love Sponge Show.
The Bubba the Love Sponge Show on Howard 101.
All right, good. So, since I got the corn snake in here himself, I figured we would. Big Woody, get in there in the microphone.
Right here.
And I figured we'd just talk this out live on the air. I can't even tell you the last... When's the last time you were on the air, Woody? Have you been doing fill-in work over there at the Big 8?
I do a little bit from time to time.
You got a hold of Jack?
I did get hold of Jack.
How's Jack doing? Boy, Jack's really milking out this I got fired yippee-yo. I'm like, Jack,
social media is milking it.
Well, none of us ever are told our last show. Like, no. They never say, Bubba, guess what? We're firing you on Friday.
Point it down there.
Go ahead and tell your side of the story. Nobody ever does that.
Right.
How are you doing? By the way, Big Woody is, his real name is Brad James. I've known him since 1992.
That's
when
right.
I went to the Power Pig.
Yeah, it was a while ago, wasn't it?
And you were, I think in 92, you were just a production guy.
That's all I was, just a production guy. I actually put the pig on the air, though, you know.
Well, you put the pig on the air, but then you were Brad James's bitch.
Yeah, no, Brian James.
Brian James.
He came in 4 months, about 5 months after we put the pig on the air.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Yep. God bless his little soul.
Yeah, it was me and Jeff Lawrence that did all the original imaging.
Really?
Yep.
So that brings me to why and I want you to give me a bill for this.
Okay.
You know, but not like not a fucking Chris
Corley,
not a Chris Corley bill.
Not a real bill.
Not a real bill. You know, a few 300-400 maybe. But I have all these, all of my shit is so stale. You know, you listen to the show every day.
Yeah.
Like this stuff. All that shit is just, you know, all my ins and outs are just ridiculous. Well, I have, over the years, I have, hold on.
It's the Bubba Love Sponge Show.
The Bubba the Love Sponge Show.
So, I mean, I got so many of them that I just need... like them cut and paste, like for instance, right here. Hold on, let me just get.
We now return to the Bubba the Love Sponge Show.
Boom. Now, they go on to say.
We now return to the Bubba the Love Sponge Show on Howard 101.
Well, I own all these, and two, they're all good.
Yeah,
I just need them produced. Like for instance, you could use that, and then but maybe put Tara at the end of it.
It's the Bubba Love Sponge Show.
Not that one. You know, hold on here.
It's Bubba the Love
Sponge!
Back on Howard 100.
But I mean, you know, just put your fucking, you know.
I got you.
Brad James it up.
Are they all rejoiners?
Well, no. I got ins. I got outs.
Okay.
I got, let me see here. Let me see. I'm just looking at. Every one of them is a rejoin, either in or out.
Okay.
Either going in or out. Hold on.
The Bubba the Love Sponge Show.
All I do is got to cut out, you know.
Who produced all that? Carl?
Carl.
A lot of it, yeah.
Carl, here we go.
Hey, learn how to...
Oh, listen to those fucking pipes. Oh, God, this makes me sad. Listen, here we go. This makes me so...
Hey, learn how to work, kid. This is the Bubba the Love Sponge Show on Howard 101.
God, what, Brad, what, oh the, my God. Do you not have goosebumps?
Yeah.
Fuck.
He was such a good friend.
Hey, learn how to work, kid.
You know, I would be rolling in there about 6 o'clock, right, when he was wrapping shit up, or he would have done, he'd already done his station stuff, and that's when he was really making his gravy.
That's right.
And so he would stay sometimes till 8 o'clock because, like, he'd work till 4:30 doing all J-Core bullshit, and then he would, you know, do, you know, Inside Edition and all the other stuff, but he would be like, what do you got coming in tonight, Clem? I'd be like, well, I got some strippers and some whores. And he'd be like.
I always knew if you had that banner up over the window. You remember how you used to put the banner up over the window?
Oh, yeah.
I said, if Bubba's got that banner up, I'm going in there. I want to see what's going on.
I'm calling the wife up and telling
her
I'm
running
late.
Sure enough, you'd walk in there and he'd have girls all across the console.
Dude,
I mean, butt
pussies hanging out.
Oh, my
back
God,
to Bubba.
It was unbelievable.
Bubba, the Love Sponge.
Love Sponge! See, I mean, some of that's pretty good shit.
Yeah. It's well
I mean, you know good production.
Yeah.
And, I remember one time, do you remember when Pete Rose was down at 970
FLA?
Yeah. And all of a sudden, Pete Rose, growing up, you know, you and I are relatively the same age. And growing up, I mean, Pete fucking Rose.
He was the bomb, right?
And so I never thought in a million years I'd meet Pete Rose. The next thing I know, Guido comes in and says, hey, the guys down at 970 said Pete Rose saw some strippers walk in. Because we prayed him right through the front. and wants to know where they're at. And we told him, well, and the 970 said, well, they're back in the, you know, Bubba's land.
Right.
And we're not allowed back there. Because remember, past that door, you couldn't come back.
Yep.
What the hell was Pete Rose doing at 970?
Promoting some bullshit.
Oh, okay.
And so next thing you know, Pete Rose comes in and says, Bubba, can I sit in the corner? And he goes, I don't want to publicly be known that I'm here. But could I watch? I'm like, hell yeah, you can watch. And he was like,
yep, he insulted everyone during that last break. The Love Sponge on Howard 101.
Oh, I mean, Brad, my shit's going to sound so good, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really well produced.
Somebody got into our heads. Bubba the Love Sponge.
Change personality.
On Howard.
But then all you got to do is just find me a standard out, you know. Yeah. On the Bubba Radio Network, and I think I got a few on the Bubba Radio Network.
There's an in there. If you go all the way down, scroll all the way down.
Where?
Was your mouth? Yeah.
Oh,
fat.
I don't know if I can say why. Woody Camps.
What? You fat fuck. You fat fuck. You fat fuck.
Sponge.
Bubba the Love Sponge on Howard 101.
Did you guys fly in the Big 8?
Yeah, that's not going to fly on the Big 8.
Yeah, I don't think it'll work.
That's going to be an NAL on the Big 8. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a big no.
Striving to reach new lows every day. It's Bubba the Love Sponge on Howard 101.
Now, who was that?
That was the guy for Sirius.
Okay.
But since I was a subcontractor, they had to agree to, for me to own them.
Yeah.
That was a big whodunit.
Yeah.
Hold on here. Let me see. Oh, that's the bullshit we're working on now. But I probably still need that static, don't I? I need that static rejone. Or could you think of something a little more hip than that, Brad? Because this is what we standard use. You know, I mean, because you gotta have 5 or 6 seconds to let the affiliates, you know, sync up. So I probably need to probably keep that standard, don't you think?
Do you have that piece dry by itself?
Somewhere we do.
That or you can that or you can just take it right off of here, I think.
Yeah.
I think you could rip and rip the technology you got. Fuck. I mean, please.
Yep.
Hold on here. Let me see here.
We're back with the Bubba the Love Sponge Show.
The Bubba the Love Sponge Show on Howard 101.
Yeah, you got a lot of good stuff.
It takes a lot of energy to be this stupid. Bubba the Love Sponge on Howard 101.
Oh, there's so much good shit. I'm like, man, only Brad James could be. We wouldn't even know what to fucking do on
this. I'll get it on there. I'll throw it in Pro Tools and see what I can do with it.
Bubba the Love.
There's a lot of it.
Sponge Show. Bubba the Love. It's the Bubba the Love Sponge Show on Howard 101.
Hmm.
I got some other things too. Oz girls in a threesome. How things going for you, buddy?
Good. Good.
How's the big gorilla doing?
It's all right.
You know what sucks?
You know, I don't know if you've noticed the signal. We finally got the signal fixed.
Mm-hmm.
It's blowing now.
Well, that's great. I mean, that's good.
It really is.
Because there's been so many times that it's not been blowing.
No,
it
mean,
blew
it's
for a while.
Yeah,
right?
It was horrible for a long time, but we put a new transmitter in there to the tune of about 80 grand.
ADD never sounded so good.
Fuck you. That's half the fucking deal. Maybe I have to cut that part out.
ADD never sounded so good.
God, I hear. I could just listen to Brian James.
Yeah, Brian was great.
All
he was great.
Day.
It's the Bubba.
I mean, but we'll sound so much bigger, don't you think, Brad?
Oh, you got to have it.
Do you remember that little skinny microphone that Brad used to have?
Brian, it was a shotgun. I mean, it was a...
How could he get that much?
It was a shotgun mic. That's what everybody's using. The Sennheiser 416. That's what everybody uses now.
For real?
Yeah, everybody.
Not for air, though.
No, yeah. Well, not for air. No, for production. It's a shotgun mic. And
he was using them back in the early
90s. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he got me one, and I started using it. They're great mics, shotgun for
production.
Is
that what you use, too?
Yeah, absolutely. They're fantastic.
So you talked to Jack. How's he doing?
He's all right.
Does he have some offers?
I want him to come over and do what he wants to do. You know, I want to work a deal with him, but he has a 6-month no-compete, so he has
to... But hold on, I don't know that those are valid anymore.
Well, I don't know.
No, hold on. I don't know that they're valid anymore. I just had all my employees sign NDAs or what the hell the fuck called.
Right.
And Tom Bean was like, make sure you tell your employees that part of this NDA that's not, and make sure you say it in front of everybody so that's all, everybody witness it, but that non-competes as far as keeping somebody, if you're not going to pay them, now if you're going to pay them, you know, if you have a 6-month non-compete because they're paying you 6 months.
Well, that's what the deal is with him. He's going to get paid.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah. That's enforceable. But right. if you just get fired, you know, and if you got some severance coming or whatever, but they used to be able to say that you literally couldn't go across the street for 6 months, even if they would, you know, didn't pay you.
Oh, yeah, I remember it well.
Well, the federal government just recently overturned that.
Right.
So non-competes are no longer enforceable. But
right.
If they're paying him.
Yeah, they're paying him.
Well, like after who does afternoons for us now? Me. You guys repurpose me.
I'm replaying you, yep. Mm-hmm. You know what? People love it, too, because once in a while I have to preempt you for Yankees baseball.
Right.
And we get calls. It's like, hey, I'd rather hear Bubba.
And I
yeah, I'm sorry about those calls.
They're our trolls. But I mean, where would you put Jack?
On 1040, our news talk.
Oh.
Not 820.
Not 820?
I might simulcast him, to be honest with you.
Instead of two pros and a cup of
joe, he wanted to do morning. So you
like those guys?
Fire me.
I like them.
Fire me and put Jack in there?
Yeah.
Two pros and a cup of joe. It's a Fox show that I run right after you from 10 until noon. It's all right.
I've never heard it.
It's Brady Quinn and
LeVar Arrington. Yeah.
Oh, that's, I mean, at least.
Yeah, they're okay. There's nobody coaching anybody in radio
then
anymore.
Then you got fucking Jim Rome. That's my man, Jim, right there.
Oh my God! You should have heard him at Radio Row during the Super Bowl week. He just absolutely just killed it. I mean, I couldn't have done as well as he did with a live guy out there. I mean, he had every A-lister that was there.
You got to do Jim Rome. He's like, and in my radio world, he's on the Mount Rushmore.
Absolutely, I agree.
I got Jim Rome.
Yep.
Rush Limbaugh,
yep.
Howard,
yep.
And probably
Phil Hendry in my book.
Well, yeah, yes.
There
absolutely.
Was no one more entertaining than Phil Hendry on the radio.
That's mine too.
There's only a few people that have ever made me pull off the road laughing. He's one of them.
Yeah, Phil. I would say Jim Rome, Howard Stern, Phil Hendry, and who the fuck? And Rush Limbaugh.
Rush, yeah.
I'll tell you who I like. I like Ben Shapiro.
No, I'll tell you who you got to listen to. The guy
Dan Bonagino?
The guy I'm running from Fox now from noon till 3. I run him on our news talk, Jimmy Failla. He was a cab driver in New York City for like 25 years.
Oh, yeah, he's on a lot of Fox.
He's on a ton of Fox. He's funny.
He's like a comedian.
He's conservative, yeah, and he's funny, but he's funny as hell. I mean, his show, he's not on there like Sean Hannity just yelling at every liberal out there. He actually makes jokes about it. It's funny. It's a great, entertaining show.
You keep in touch with Glenn Beck at all? Were you and Glenn close?
I did afternoon drive news for him for 2.5 years.
I know.
I was the anchor. No, we weren't close. I mean, we were when he was here, we were. But once he got up there and moved to Philadelphia, and got his little circle, a group of people around him.
I love Glenn, but if he doesn't pay homage to Randy Michaels.
Oh, yeah.
Because when, you know.
Randy and Gabe.
Well, Randy and Gabe, as soon as Glenn started breaking, as soon as 9/11 happened and Glenn started breaking it down, getting into some things.
Well, you know how that whole thing happened with him. So who did we have? What's the lady that, the female talker? That gave like marital advice. I'm drawing a blank here.
Laura Schlesinger?
No.
Dr. Laura, that's exactly
that's
right.
That's her.
So we had her on from 9 until noon on 970 when 9/11 happened. And she, they syndicated her, Premiere syndicated her. Mm-hmm. And she refused to talk about it. She said, no, I'm not going to talk about that. And we're like, and Gabe is like, wait a minute, you got to talk about this. This is a national.
This is the biggest thing ever happened in our lives.
She refused to talk about it, so they pulled her off and put Glenn Beck on.
Right.
And that's
Glenn
how
Beck,
it happened.
And Glenn Beck was a zookeeper out of like Y95 in Phoenix, was he?
He was an FM jock. That's right.
Right. He was a zookeeper in Phoenix.
He used to hang around the radio station. This is a true story. He used to hang around at 970, and you know, he would do some part-time fill-in stuff for us, and he used to come into my production studio, and he'd say, man, what do I got to do? I said, Glenn, just hang in there. It'll happen. He had nothing to do. I mean, he was just dying to get on the air. And this is when the guy was good then. I mean, he was great then. He wasn't like he is now, but he was just dying to get on the air. And finally, when Dr. Laura pulled her crap, they put him on. And look what happened to him.
I mean, hold on. I hate to be a dick, but Glenn Beck was such a non-factor that I didn't even know who he was.
No, like, but he was talented then, you know. But, yeah, you're
no,
right.
I mean, I owned the building. Building was mine.
Yeah.
building was mine, and I fucking ran the building. And, I mean, you know, even that's what made MJ so mad over the years is because he came in 94, and I'd already been like, this is my fucking building. I run the building around here. And I remember one time.
It's true, too. It's so true.
I mean, Brad, you worked there.
I was there from the time I moved us from downtown. I moved us into that building.
Right. But, I mean, you know, if and here you are, my friend, but you're certainly an unbiased opinion. I mean, there was, when we would have meetings on Monday, jock meetings, everybody hated me because there were two set of rules. There were rules for everybody else.
And there were rules for Bubba.
And there were rules for me.
Which basically were no rules.
Yeah. Nobody could have visitors, but I could have literally 14 strippers, you know, squirting on the console at 9:30. Do you remember, so we were on an urban-leaning Power Pig format.
Yep.
And I played album cuts of AC/DC.
Oh, of course I
do. At 10:15.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Chase and Randy came in the market one time and said, am I listening to YNF or am I listening to 93.3?
Yeah.
And Mark says, hey, dude, he's got a 39 share.
That's right.
What the fuck?
Go tell him. Go tell him not to play that. He's got a 40 share, right? Yeah. Yeah, no. It was.
Then I did Beastie Boys at 9:30, AC/DC at 10:15. And then I'd put on like three songs in a row and go get head in Mark Chase's office.
Yep.
Remember?
Yeah, I sure I do.
And Chase would be like, hey, dude, you know, just don't get no shit on my couch.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and after a while, no one, when you went into Mark's office, you'd just stand up.
You wouldn't sit on the couch.
You didn't want to sit down on the
Bubba
couch.
Bubba DNA.
There was no telling what was, I mean, it was just.
I remember one time, so I did the Let Your Chichia Run Wild sex tape.
Oh my gosh.
And I cut a deal completely behind everybody's back, and I forget XTC Supercenters or something gave me like $10,000 to promote them, and I had them all printed up and everything, and they're selling like hotcakes, and I'm on the air being, man, go if you want to see my behind the scenes. And by the way, they weren't my houses. They were all my rich friends' houses.
Yeah.
And you know, and so Tom Owens calls me up. And he was the vice president, of programming, but vice president of the company. And he goes, hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Tom Owens. I go, hey, Tom, you coming into town this weekend? You need some pussy? He's like, well, we'll talk about that later. But can you tell me why I just got off the phone with four of the board members wanting to know why we're selling pornographic tapes of you showing girls pussies inside the studio? And I go, oh, I didn't even know that would be a problem. He's like, yeah, it's a little bit of a problem. I'll tell you what, you need to go back. So David Reinhart, people don't even know this. Dave Reinhart gave me $10,000 cash.
Mm.
I had to go to Russell Link, and he had it hidden in the ceiling.
Oh,
he had it hidden in the ceiling. It was $10,000 cash. When they would go out on T-shirt patrol and stuff, they would have save some cash, and they gave me $10,000 cash, and I had to pull those things off the shelf.
Mm.
But
Russell Link was undoubtedly the best business manager that any radio company could ever have.
And they fired him, too, didn't they?
No, he left. He moved to Hawaii. But you could walk into his office and say, you know, I got an emergency. And he would just pull out his books, and he'd find some money from somewhere. This was when I was running DAE. I had no budget for anything. And then I'd say, Russell, I got to have $1,500. I need to blah, 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 blah. He'd say, okay, borrow this from this, and we'll make it happen.
Brad, I'll tell you right now, Brad.
He was great.
I'd come in after I'd sold T-shirts in Why Mama on a Friday and made like $7,500 that I gave to the station. And he goes, and so then Monday I'd come in for the chalk meet. He goes, I will tell you right now, they're very happy with you. They're very happy with you.
We had pig bucks. Remember pig bucks?
I made them, most of them.
Oh, my God. It was the greatest thing. They'd hand you, you know, $500 in ones, and you just go to the mall, and you just hand them out to people.
Bullshit.
And,
you know, I fucking hand out 200 of them, put 300 in my pocket.
Chase gave me $1,500 at one of our first staff meetings. Because, you know, during the launch, this is the honest to God's truth.
Talking about the Power Pig station in Tampa, Florida,
back in
1989.
They had just got the building on Gandy. And so I was producing imaging for the Power Pig, for the launch of the Power Pig, in an old two-track studio in downtown Tampa at the old Jackson Street Studios, where we had no multi-track capabilities. This is the honest to God's truth, and only people in the business are going to understand this.
You're still using razor blades and China markers.
I had two-track reel-to-reels and a triple-deck cart machine, and that's what I produced the original imaging for the Power Pig on. That's a true story. With Randy Michaels looking over my shoulder, having never produced CHR in my life, didn't even know what the letter stood for.
Right. And with Q105 having a fucking 41 share and no...
And Mike Reeves, one of the most creative guys in the world.
Right, yeah. and the industry, the entire radio industry from Los Angeles to New York to Chicago said nobody will ever be able to knock Q105 off. Yeah. I mean,
our in-house research, Bubba, had us beating them in 3 days. I swear to God, in 72 hours, our in-house research, you know, critical mass media up there in Cincinnati had us ahead of them in all the call-out. In 3 days.
We would do positioning statements like, when you see Q105.
Shoot, flip them the pig.
Flip them the pig. Like, yeah. You tell them
screw,
flip,
the, screw the Q.
Screw the Q. Flip them off.
Flip them the pig. That
we
was
go
it.
Over and dumpster dive there. They were so fucking stupid they wouldn't shred their music logs. So yeah. We would go over there and get in and,
their dumpster.
And their dumpsters and pick out their music logs, Anna. And then we would find out when their stop sets were. And we would fucking say, the power pig, do us a favor. Flip over to Q105 because they're playing commercials. And literally people would flip over.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we'd be like, but we're not. Five in a row for the power pig.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. It worked, too. It was a great strategy, and it worked.
Oh, it was gorilla. And you know what? You can't even do that anymore.
No.
Radio's so fucking woke.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's how bad is it, Brad? And I know that you and Bruce probably get a little disappointed because I would love to be on a really big, you know, like 98 Rock or a big fucking sexy FM. You know, I would just for ego purposes. And I don't want you guys to get mad at me for saying that because I'm so thankful and I'm so appreciative of where I am now. And you guys believed in me when quite frankly nobody did or does. But you got arguably, and I'm not trying to blow smoke up my ass, but probably one of the top three or four radio personalities in the history of this town that's, you know, that has changed with the times. The show's not, you know, girls squirting and, you know, shit like that. You know the show. You know the show. I mean, you're the program. You're the operations manager of my flagship station. So you know the show, and they're like not interested. Not interested.
And you know what? All I ever do is I stay out of your way. You never hear from me.
You only
hear from me if you need something or if I need something. It's, you know, I mean, you never hear from me because you know why? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you said in an interview on television a few years ago, and in fact, I have it on a liner, that the market would be shocked if they knew how many people were listening to you on 820 because we don't subscribe.
It's so.
I guarantee it is. And you know as well as I do, Bubba.
Let me tell you something.
Especially now with the signal the way it is, we got it back to where it was, you know, 6 months ago.
Here's what's the people that we have to be careful here, but the people that keep score, it's so fucked up.
Totally.
The people that keep score, we'll just say Company X that keeps score of radio ratings. Here's what they do. If you don't buy their ratings, which in this market is like a couple $100,000. I mean, if Bruce was to buy the ratings, it probably cost him well into six figures.
Yes, it does.
Okay. So that's just the ability to be able to say we're in 13th place or, you know, we have this share. But if you don't buy the ratings because, you know, only three or four companies can really afford them,
mm-hmm.
If you don't buy them, now, they used to rate you. They would rate the non-purchasing stations. They would still rate you. You just couldn't use it as data to sell as, you know, you couldn't go to an advertiser and say, hey, we got a 5.5 share.
That's right.
Because you didn't buy them. So you could not say that. But nonetheless, they reported you, and they kept score nonetheless.
Right.
Now, they don't even keep score. So my question is, if there are 51 people playing the game, but only 31 are being rated, and your ratings are based on 31, well, and 31 equaling 100%, then what about the other 20 stations that are obviously getting a percentage of listenership? Wouldn't that flaw your the 31 stations that are getting? If let's say a station that's being rated said they had a 5 share. Well, let's say of the 21 radio stations combined, they're taking 10 shares out of the market.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then oh, I,
your yeah. research is obsolete at that point.
Oh,
I totally agree.
I might have a
maybe it's Nissan.
Hello, it's Bubba. I'm doing my show, just chilling out on the air. Hello. Hello, I'm ready to take your phone call. Mm-hmm. Brad, if you got a collection call, just tell them that they're live on the air, and they'll go away. So here's the deal.
That's a great point. I want to make another point, too. So let's say you're company X, and that's the business that you're in, and you have these huge clients that have, 1,200 properties around the country, right? And then you have a client that's in one of those markets that only has two properties. Who are you going to take care of the best, if you know what I mean?
12.
Of course.
Well, and not only that.
And that's what happens to the little guys like us.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so
sweet. You don't think I didn't get railroaded by that company?
Oh, God. It's just, yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. So, it would be amazing to know how many people we really have listening to us in the morning. I would be willing to say, Brad, that men 25-54 were top 10.
Oh, without a doubt. I have no... Bubba, you know how I know this? Every advertiser that's in your show, they've been with us a long time, and here's what we know. They get great results.
You know what I...
That's all we need.
You know what you need to do to me is, since I haven't had this conversation with you, you need to give me a list of those advertisers that have been loyal to the show on AM 820, and give me a list. And you know what? When the networks open, I'd love to recognize them and throw them a little added value.
Oh, great. I would love that.
They're just, which would also help you on the sales side of things,
sure.
Too, saying, hey, man, when, Bubba, when the network was open, when he had, however many millions of people or whatever, it certainly doesn't hurt.
Right. Absolutely.
Oh, yep. I know one of them is Diaco Law. We'll take your call.
Yeah.
That one runs on it.
Mm-hmm. So everything else going pretty good for you?
Everything's going great.
How's your health? I know you were fucked up for a while.
Outside of being a big fat slob, I'm okay.
You're not that fat.
Yeah, I'm way overweight.
What's going to happen?
6'5", 285.
Hey, you need to get on the Ozempic.
6'5", 285?
Yeah, I heard you talking about the Ozempic. I don't think I can handle it.
Hold on.
Side effects just worry me a little bit.
You've always been a worrisome person anyway. Like, I'd be in there fucking doing some real fucked up radio, and you'd be like, I'm just telling you, we're going to get in trouble. I'm like, shut the fuck up, Brad.
Well, you got to understand, when I started, it was old school radio. I started at FLA in 93.3 in 1984.
Right. I started in 92.
That was my first, and everything was on the up and up. It was, Blair Broadcasting, and Media General.
You guys were worried about PLP back then.
Absolutely. It was, but it was a different world then. It was still old school, where you didn't talk about the competitor, where everything on the air was,
pristine.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
By the book.
It was clean, man. It was really clean back then.
But when I came in, Brad, do you remember?
What year did Howard start?
Howard started in 80.
Around here, never.
Never, but 82.
But he really didn't do his really.
Till 90.
Right.
He didn't get big till 90.
See,
he didn't get big till he went into Philly and beat John DiBella, which would have been 91. And then that's
what really opened the door for
him. Yeah, because Mel said, if you can go into Philly and beat DiBella, then I'll take you to Los Angeles and beat Mark and Brian. I'll run you up. The only market that Howard really never did well is against Mancow in Chicago, because Chicago is so hometowny.
Yeah.
And Howard's a friend of mine, but one of the reasons why CBS never brought him in here is because they were afraid to put him against me,
mm-hmm.
because I would have, they felt that I was Tampa, I was Tampa.
Well,
but
you were.
But when I came to the Power Pig what were the jocks saying behind my back?
Oh, yeah. Oh, are you kidding? It was
bad.
Yeah,
they all hated
me. Everybody was like, "What the hell?" What the hell is this?
What the fuck? Why are they letting them do this?
Yeah,
we don't get to do this.
Why is there a banner over the window? Oh, when I bring the carts in. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I mean, Brad, do you know what my last. My last deal, and this is what really pissed. I don't know that any of them ever knew this. Did you know my last... Okay, so I signed a... Wow, I think, how have I been living like this? Kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. You're thinking, wow, how have I been affording getting gouged so bad? It's time to make the switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. And I mean, Mint Mobile's quality of wireless service is unbelievable. Say bye-bye to the overpriced wireless plan, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages where they slow you down and completely screw with you. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with your existing contacts. Ditched overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited plan deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. Get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for only $15 a month. Go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower than 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fee, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Contract in 92, and within the first two books, they ripped it up. I signed my first deal was for $30,000.
Yeah, I remember that.
And within the first two books, I got there in September of 92, and by April of 93, Chase called me into the office to go talk to David Reinhardt.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a 2 in the afternoon. I'm like, I turned to Holly. I said, I'm fired. I mean, I've been doing this for...
Holly. I remember Holly.
Remember Holly?
She's the attractive blonde,
yeah,
right?
She was cool.
Wiped his butt when he's too fat to wipe
ass.
His ass.
Yeah. Yeah. So I remember, listen, you know, I'd been...
They cheated on her.
I'd been in radio for a while, and I knew
just
how the I knew how to get fired.
Yeah,
I knew how the firing process went.
But see, Bubba, when you came in, we still had old school top 40 jocks like Dave Mann and John Rock and Roll Anthony and Jeff Lawrence, those kinds of guys that were the traditional style,
right?
You know, top 40 jocks,
Hawk and Marty.
Well, they weren't traditional.
No,
they were from the Y100 bunch from.
Right. I was the real outside fucking bad boy.
You were the new
naughty.
You were the new style of night guy for top 40
right.
radio.
And the reason why they brought me in, and I'm going to be honest, I was in Milwaukee and Randy and Mark called me and said, "Listen, we're going to be honest with you. We feel our shock. We've been around since early 80, 89 or late 88."
Yep.
And it's 1992.
Yep.
And we're getting stale. Yep. On shocking.
Yep.
Like we're just getting stale on, like, there's not as much buzz about us. And so Randy says, I want you to come in and anything short of saying fuck and cunt and a couple other things.
What else?
I heard you in Milwaukee. He said, I've heard you in Milwaukee when you were getting after it. He goes, I heard you in Orlando on XL when you would hang up on kids and ask if their mom had big jugs. And I heard you in Philly when you would have girls rub their privates on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, all of the shit that I did.
Sure.
And he's like, I want it all. I want it all. And so I'm like, okay. So Chase, he says, I'm going to have Mark Chase call you. He's going to work out your deal. So I'm sitting at this Chinese restaurant in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, off of Blue Mound Road with Holly.
Oh, my God.
And my cell phone rings and, hey, dude, you're going to be my new Nat guy.
Oh, my
and,
God.
And I'm going to pay you 30 grand. And I'm going to tell you right now, man, 30 grand in Tampa goes a lot farther because we ain't got no state taxes down here. Mm-hmm. We pay you a sunshine.
He sold you that bill of goods.
And so I go, well, listen, Mark, I'm doing afternoons here in Milwaukee, and I'm making 55. And he goes, well, let me ask you a question there. Do you still got that job? I go, no, I just got fired. He goes, okay, then. So $55,000 for 3 months' work ain't the same as 30 grand. And I'm going to tell you something. You ain't got to worry about getting fired here because we don't fire people. And, they, and they didn't.
No, that's true.
He
they
goes,
didn't.
We don't fire people. And he goes, if you do what Randy says, you got you a job for a long time. Now, come on down here now. Get you a U-Haul.
Yeah.
Get it all packed the fuck up. Save the receipts. I'll pay you back. And get in here and talk to a man named Joe Mama. He's going to have you some temporary housing set up. He's a black guy, and he's going to have a temporary housing set up. Now, if you know anything about Joe Mama, fucking played favorites like a motherfucker.
And big time.
He was Mark and BJ's henchman. And so Mark
he would do anything for them. I mean, and when I say anything, I mean anything.
When BJ was down doing bad stuff in Ybor and in jail, guess who came picked him up?
Oh, yeah.
Joe Mama.
Joe Mama was he cleaned up all the messes.
So Chase tells Joe Mama, Joe Mama, I got this fucking hotshot from Milwaukee coming. I want you to treat him good as hell. I don't give a fuck what he wants. You take care of him. He's a big fat guy with a ponytail. So Joe Mama picks me up at the airport, and they took me to this extended stay deal.
Oh, yeah.
And I hadn't even been on the air one night. I had not even been on the air yet.
Yeah.
And but I brought all these carts of all these phone calls that I had edited from Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
like saying, I would answer live, Power Pig, and then I'd hit the cart and be like, yeah, is this Bubba the Love Sponge?
Yeah.
You're a real fat. You suck. I'm like, well, what's your? I mean, then they just, you know, and so Joe Mama said, what are all these things? I go, they're preloaded phone calls. He's like, mm-hmm. I've never heard of that. I go, yeah. Well, watch this, motherfucker. My first night, I'm going to have these people all fucking tore up. So I went on the air, just tore it the fuck up first night. So then Hawk and Marty are doing a live gig down at Hammer Jacks, remember?
Oh, God, do I remember Hammer Jacks.
And now Hawk and Marty, I'd been on the air one night. Nobody knew who the fuck I was. I'd been on the air one night.
Right.
And Hawk and Marty, it's their live gig. They're live on the air. And there was this bartender. And they had, Power Pig had a tab. Now, Blitz, you know I don't drink. Like, I don't drink.
Very rarely.
Very rarely. Well, I had it in my mind, you know, I'd finally found the station that fit me. I was going to be the man. I could just feel it. And so I go to this bartender, and I get drunk as fuck. And she doesn't know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And she stopped. She said, I'm not going to serve you anymore because the Power Pig bill. You're really not with the Power Pig. And I said, bitch, let me tell you something. I'm going to be the biggest personality in the history of this fucking town.
Oh, yeah.
And so she went on to work for like J.J. Taylor or something, that woman did. And she came to the station one time. She goes, you know what? You told me your first night exactly what you ended up being. And I was like, sorry, I was so drunk that night. I never got that drunk ever again. Hawk and Marty, they tolerated me. You know, MJ hated my fucking guts.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think everybody on the air staff practically. I know Dave hated your
Dave
guts.
Dave hated my guts. Jennifer hated my guts. Hawk and Marty tolerated me.
Rock and roll probably hated
Tom Steele liked me.
Yeah.
But he was a little mad because they had broken up Tim and Tom because they were not doing it at night and brought me in.
Yeah.
And then, so in February, Dave Reinhart comes. They call me up. They tell me to come in at 3:00 in the afternoon. I tell Holly, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fired. They never have the night guy. I don't have to even be there by 6:30.
Right.
That's like, remember I had no production?
No, hell no.
See, all the other jocks had to do productions and overdubs. Not me. No production for Bubba Clem.
No.
7 nights a week I had gigs.
Yeah, you were somewhere every night.
Every night.
You had to be banking, man.
Oh, hold on,
because
Brad,
what was an appearance fee? $300
I was making $2,100 a week.
Cash.
Yeah.
Cash.
That's right.
Blowing out a whore's. And so.
Oh, my God.
And so.
I know. I used to get gigs, and I was just a production guy.
I know. And you
get
a gig.
I got gigs all the time.
Fuck yeah. You'd be at your local golf course doing some bullshit.
No, I was at Brits or.
Yeah.
I was somewhere.
Mako's.
Yeah.
New York, New York.
Oh, no, New York, New York. So, Dave Reinhart's. So I'm making $30,000 a year. And he goes, Baba, yeah. First of all, I'm like, Dave, what am I doing here at 3 o'clock? Chase goes, don't worry about it, dude. It's going to be okay. I go, okay. So Reinhart goes, now, Brad, you know what everybody was making. I mean, Dave.
I do, yeah.
Dave Mann was probably making 40, maybe 50.
Yeah, probably 40, 42.
Hawk and Marty probably made what, 50 apiece?
Not quite.
Okay.
45 each.
All right. And, you know, I don't know what Chase was making. Chase was probably making maybe a buck.
Buck and a half.
Buck and a half.
Yeah.
And so. They come to me because the ratings are just, and they want to sign me to a 2-year deal.
Yep.
And at 150, it was 75,000 a year.
It was time to lock up Bubba.
So they locked me up for 2 years at $75,000 a year.
Yep. Plus all your gigs.
Oh, plus all my gigs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus fucking Tyrone Isuzu.
Now, what year was this?
This was in 93.
Okay.
So that took me to 95. And then I had one more year. I was done in 95, and I had a station in Denver that was a Clear Channel, that was a J-Corps station, and the guy, it was whoever's going against Lewis and Floorwax or something like that, whoever the fuck the two big guys in Denver were.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 95, I went to David Reinhart and said, listen, I have a chance to go do mornings on a rock station, because my shtick, even though I had a 40 share at night, my shtick leaned men.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even though, I mean, I got all the girls just because, you know, I was playing, you know, fucking Janet Jackson.
Right.
But I would, you know, I'd have all this men. So we didn't have, that was before the 90, that we didn't buy 98 Rock until 96.
Right.
So I, in February or March of 95, I go to Dave Reinhart and Chase is gone and it's BJ.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, hey, guys, I have a chance to make $100,000 to do mornings in Denver. And they're going to let me do all my stuff, you know, No Panties Thursday, Redneck Monday. You know, they're going to let me play no records. And Dave goes, if we match it, will you stay? And all you have to do is sign a 1-year deal, because we're thinking J-Corps is going to buy CityCasters, and we're going to own 98 Rock in less than a year.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, okay. So my last year at the Power Pig, Woody, my base was 100.
Jeez.
And so I'm making 100 plus the gigs.
Didn't you move to afternoon for a while?
No. They put me on 970. And they put me on 970 FLA on Saturday afternoons for two shows.
Yeah.
Till Sue Tricus didn't like my vagina rules the world monologue.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, vagina. If you think about all the decisions us men have made about vagina. And if we just weren't attracted to it,
mm-hmm.
you know, but vagina rules. Well, she was a lesbian, so she didn't, you know, she didn't really.
But she knew.
She knew all about it. Sue. I should have said Sue of all people.
Yeah.
So
she was attracted to.
Oh, yeah. So my, plus MJ's that got there in 94, and he was being a dick, and he was putting a bunch of pressure on them, and they knew that I needed, like, I couldn't do nights forever because, one, I was starting to get, you know, offers.
Right.
And so they're like, okay, listen. They closed on CityCasters like in May or June.
Yeah.
And they're like, listen, I said, I want to quit. I'm going to quit and come back December 1st on 98 Rock. So they gave me June, July, August, September, October, and November off paid.
Nice.
And I went and, you know, saw my friends and fucking blew my money and partied and whole nine yards.
Right.
And then came back at 98 Rock and my first contract with them, I think, was $180.
Really?
$180 was my first deal for 98 Rock, and it was only a 1-year deal because they didn't think they didn't know if I could if it would translate, like if it would work.
Oh. Okay.
And so they had, who was the old program director over there before Harden got there? He was legendary, the program director for 98 Rock, and they were gonna keep him until I threw a fit. What the fuck was his name?
I'm trying to remember.
You might remember Blitz. He was all about the music.
He wasn't on air, was he?
No, no.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not Ledger. Scott Ledger was a jock. Not Big Rig.
I can't remember.
Fuck. And he was married to Julie. He was married to the
Julie Foleman.
Foleman.
Nick Van Cleve.
Nope. Somebody else.
God, I can't remember.
But he was this real, you know, like, hey man. So I meet him at Randy goes, hey, this guy's gonna be your PD, but he knows that you're a shove down, and he ain't got nothing to say about you.
Nice.
Can you do me a favor? Can you go out to Tex-Mex out there on Candy? No, I'm sorry, on Courtney Campbell. Meet him at Tex-Mex tomorrow at noon. See if you guys can hammer some shit out. But he knows that you're not going nowhere.
That's nice to hear from the CEO, isn't it?
So the CEO tells me. So I go out there, and I don't like this guy because he's a fucking, you know, he's like,
yeah.
You know, Blitz, he reminds me of Shark. Remember Shark over at Cox?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, hey, Michael Sharkey.
Yeah. Hey, dude, you know.
I'm cool.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, you know what I envisioned, dude? You know, I think we could get along, man. Oh, but I was thinking about maybe like 6 records an hour, you know, and then like 4 like 6-minute speed breaks. And I go, well, I don't know what the fuck. This is exactly what you said. I said, this is exactly what I said. I go, I don't know what the fuck you envision, but I'm not playing any fucking records, and I already have Randy Michaels in my back pocket. So either you fucking get along with what I'm doing, or I'm going to tell them to get rid of you.
Yeah, get on board.
And he's like, you know, come on, dude. Like, you know. You can, you know, you haven't even, like, I had never done full-blown spoken word radio. I always, you know, I was on the Power Pig and played, like, you know, 5 records an hour, nonetheless.
Right, right.
He's like, you know, let's just ease into it. You know, how about 4? I go, how about fuck you?
Yeah, I mean, what was
how about fuck you?
What was the point? I mean, just.
He's like, you know, Marlon Seabass, Marlon Seabass are getting replaced by me because they're in fucking 8th place, Men 2554.
Yeah.
I said, I shit 8th place, okay?
Was it Charlie Logan?
Nope, nope. Just keep researching 98 Rock, like 1995 98 Rock program director. As soon as you say his name, I'll fucking zow. I knew who it is. And he went on like and went and like moved to Tennessee and sold antiques or some bullshit. But he was
looking at names. Greg Moll.
Greg Moll.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Greg Moll.
Like, yeah.
Greg Moll Blitz. Thank you. Great find.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, man.
I remember him.
And I was so Greg Moll quit. He quit and they brought in Brad Harden.
Yeah.
And Brad Harden comes in and goes, hey, you're my little champion. You can do whatever fuck you want, buddy.
Yeah.
I don't care. Just well,
Brad Harden was a J-Corps guy.
They brought him in from Cincinnati on EBN.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only CityCasters guy that stayed was DiLoretto.
Yeah.
And then Scott the Engineer until I ran him off.
DiLoretto.
So Scott the Engineer, we're over there at Feather Sound when I first started off, Woody, right?
Yep.
And the fucking phones won't work. And I go, hey, and so Scott the Engineer, this fucking Scott dude.
I remember Scott. I can't remember his last name, but I remember
Scott
who
Miller,
was.
I think. Was
yes, I think it was Scott Miller.
And, like, supposedly all the jocks were afraid of him. Like Ledger and Big Rig and all the dudes like, man, don't piss off Scott. He'll make your life hell. And I go, fuck him. So the phone lines, they're not working. And he comes in, he goes, I get on the air and I go, Scott Miller to the control room. Scott Miller to the control room. And he walks and he goes, I don't like to be on the air. And I go, well, good. I do. Here's the deal. These fucking, these phones don't work. And if you don't fix them by the time that, you know, I'm going to go into a stop set here. And my stop sets were 8 minutes and 20 seconds long. Mm. I said, you can somehow jerry rig this stuff up to work. Phone calls are a major part of my program. He's like, you're going to have to go ahead and write a, request deal in here. Ugh. I took the fucking phone and threw it across the fucking
window.
No,
you did not.
Yeah, I did. Anna, I picked up the whole fucking phone.
With the cord?
With the cords and everything.
Oh,
and
my God.
And threw it at the door, and I go, there you go. There's my written deal.
There's my problem. Fix it.
And so he goes to dealer Redo and goes, I can't work under these conditions. You're going to have to fire him. And dealer Redo goes, he's unfired. Yeah. I can't fire him.
Yeah. Can't touch this.
Can't touch this.
Mm-hmm. No, can't touch this, motherfucker.
Yeah, I love it.
And then he quit. He quit.
Yeah. That was in Feather Sound, right?
Yeah.
So that's where they moved back to, you know.
Well, then I hated it over there. Like, I hated it because all my friends were over at Gandy.
Right.
So yeah. I went with Randy once. Randy comes into town, and I go, Randy, listen, the fucking half of that building's a Bally's Health and Fitness, and they don't, and
ain't nobody fit over there.
Yeah. And I said, why don't you buy the rest of the building and bring us all together? Well, you know, we got a 2-year lease here. And I go, it's going to take you 2 years to build it. I said, please, please. And then add an extension. And they called it the Rock Barn in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And that was at my, not my direction, but at my begging. I go, please, please.
Just keep the basketball court. And we did.
And we did.
Yeah.
We got one here, too.
And then.
Will Smith played there, by the way.
He did.
Yep.
Yep.
We had Will's. We had.
Is he any good?
Bubba, tell him about the celebrities. Yeah, he was actually a very good basketball player.
Oh, we had everything.
He was a super nice guy, too, really. Yeah. I remember him.
I was the only jock that had his own office with shag carpeting because I'd get head in there right after the show sometimes.
And the shag carpeting.
Right. So, Anna, I would
protect
literally.
The knees
I would,
of the I would whores that sucked
right.
you off.
That's
I would
right.
literally have some whores on, like from Oz after the show, and I would have Guido schedule them at 9:15.
Guido. Oh,
he would schedule them at, or him or Brent,
yeah.
would schedule them at 9:15, and then I would tell the manager that you need to pick out one of them to suck my dick after the show.
Yeah.
And so
if they picked the wrong one?
Well, they never did. They had already had it predetermined.
Right.
Like, which one is going to blow Bubba? Because this is what
did
it takes.
Did they ever, like, rib you and they have, like, a gross one with no teeth or something?
No, because they would never be. They would
get fired.
That wouldn't happen.
Yeah. I had a
51 share, men 25-54. No. So if you were going to promote, you know, fucking Rhonda Juggs being at Oz this weekend, you had to be on my show.
Right.
Yeah. So
I had to suck my dick.
So, no, honest to God.
No,
so,
I know.
So after the show, I would go in there. The girl would be waiting. This is literally two doors down from Brad Harden.
Yeah.
He'd see it all. Mm-hmm. And she'd suck my dick. And then she would leave and join in the rest of...
Were they always fucked up or were some of them sober?
No, they're always sober. That's before people got fucked up. I mean, we'd have them drinking and stuff like
sure,
that.
Sure, of course. Gotta, you know, warm it up a little bit.
Brad, I don't know that anybody in radio has ever been able to roll like that. Like, I don't know that even, I mean, I don't know that anybody in Ron and Ron might have rolled like that, but I don't know that they had corporate, the shady corporate backing that they could get their dicks up like that.
No one got sucked off? The Ron and Ron?
Oh, I'm sure they did, but.
But I mean, like, at the station?
It was probably at gigs. Yeah. Probably not at the, I probably got more head at the station than any.
It was all, without a doubt.
It was all at the Bennington Comedy Club.
Yeah, the Bennington Comedy Club. Oh, yeah, and so that's how for years, I had the cough girls, the come on your face. Blitz is very
come on her face.
Yeah. They were called cough. And I could not say what the domain was, but it was comeonherface.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, but we would call them the cough girls, but everybody knew the Iggy. And it was a website. I don't even know if it's still around. Comeonherface.com.
Bing it,
Lummy.
Bing it. 5 cents.
And so I would have them come every February. And come on the show, because if you remember, Blitz, I'd have a Super Bowl party.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And then they would spend the weekend in town, and part of being on the show on Friday was staffing my, you know, having four of the Come On Your Face girls at my Super Bowl party, and everybody that came to my Super Bowl party got head.
Yeah.
Like, like Blitz will tell you, everybody got head. And or at least offered head. You know, like if Woody came back, Woody, you want some head? Woody never came to my parties because he was married at the time.
Yeah.
But Blitz came to a few of my parties.
I was there. I was a few of them.
Really, Blitz?
Yeah. Huh? I mean, Blitz got head.
Yeah, it looks like Come On Face girls are not there anymore.
Yeah.
Oh no, Lummy.
We had some famous people. We had famous people also come with beg to come to my Super Bowl parties.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So. Man, the good
old
days.
That old time was just incredible, isn't it? When you think about it. I watched the I watched the
Masters probably this weekend.
Well, I did watch that.
I know you're probably fucking.
Listen, that rain delays, they were killing.
Oh my God, it was awful. But no, I watched.
That one guy choked. Kopka choked.
God, could you imagine watching a fucking rain delay of golf on
TV?
Yeah,
no, they put women's golf on for a little bit.
Well, actually, CBS got pretty smart when they figured out that the whole world would tune out during a rain delay because they'd put on last year's tournament.
Or the women's tournament.
So what they do now is they'll tape the morning round. Okay, that doesn't make it for the live coverage when it comes on at 2:00. So they'll tape the morning round, and if there's a tape delay, if there's a delay, rain delay, they'll play the morning round from that morning.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, yeah, so it's somewhat, you know.
They didn't get that Saturday morning, though.
No.
Because they didn't have that.
That's right.
Ugh.
So you started to watch, you said, I interrupted
I watched the story on Scott Shannon from Worst to First. I watched that last night on YouTube.
They didn't show the part where he had to leave town because we kicked his fucking ass.
Yeah, there's a lot left out in that thing. But I was just thinking, listening to you talk, I was thinking about how different it was what we did as opposed to what he did. It was just, you know.
His was zookeeper, zany bullshit.
Yeah, he was zookeeper for sure. I mean, yeah. Scott and Todd. I mean, that's later on ended up being the biggest zookeeper show.
Yeah. And he was a zookeeper down here before we knocked him off. I mean, I think he was actually gone.
Q105 he was gone. We beat Q105 in one book.
And it wouldn't have mattered if he stayed because we would have made him unfucking cool too.
No,
we instantaneously made even if you were at Q105 and kind of cool, we made you fucking uncool. It was just uncool. Like, you wouldn't be the nerd that went to the beach and listened to 104.7 because you'd literally might get your ass kicked.
Right. Absolutely. That's true. Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
We had the lunkheads. We had the Hispanics. Because they were kind of more of a white-breaded CHR. Mm-hmm. And we went a little more rhythmic and a little bit more urban.
We launched with 80 records. And out of those 80 records that we launched with, they weren't playing 50 of them.
Right. Right.
And those 80 were top 40 songs. They just skewed, you know, one direction, and we said, well, we're going to go the other direction.
Right, right.
I mean, we were playing, you know, Love and Rockets. You know, remember that? Soul Alive, Love and Rockets up against, you know, Paula Abdul.
Yeah.
You know, and they weren't playing either one of those.
No. They just got their ass handed
We launched with Love in an Elevator. That was one of the 80 songs we launched with. I remember because I carted every one of them up.
Yeah, we had to play them on carts back
in the day. Yeah, I carted the first 80 songs we launched with.
I wonder what that building looks like inside now that they all are moved out. Are they going to knock
it
over?
Oh, Gandhi, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're going to tear it down and build something there.
Boy, I'd like to find out who the owner is.
Didn't that furniture store buy it?
I think they may have, bud.
Oh, really?
I
didn't know who bought
it. Woody, I'd like to walk through that building with you.
4002?
I mean, even though they tore out all the studios and stuff, I would just love to do a walkthrough.
It would be kind of eerie, though, wouldn't
almost
it?
Videotape.
Yeah.
Just kind of, you know, Blitz, you know how they do, like, they walk through the abandoned mansions?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'd love to do a walkthrough.
Andy, my IT guy, and I said the same thing. We'd like to just walk through it. Yeah.
Because I have stories almost. And I'd be like, oh, man, this is where, Dave Reinhardt office was, and this is where Joe Mama's office was. And, oh, my God, here's BJ and Dan, and this is where I got the most head right in this fucking room right here. I got a lot of head in this room.
When they bought that building, when we were still in downtown Tampa at 801 Jackson Street, the old WFLA building that was built for two radio stations, by the way, a classic building that should have never been torn down. When they bought that building on Gandhi, we had a staff party over there, like a luncheon staff party over there. The new building. And you know, that was an old, the original building, it was an old Pinellas Lindsay Lumber building. But anyways, when they bought the building, they gave us all a baseball bat and said, go help us tear down the walls.
Yeah.
And we all went over there with baseball bats and we're literally just beating down the walls.
Like you're a bunch of fucking vagrants.
Yeah, exactly.
Then for the longest time, for 10, 12 years, we only had half the building because there was a Bally's Health and Fitness.
That's right.
Then they bought the other side when they consolidated everybody over there.
That's exactly right.
But you know what? I need to find out who.
It had a pool in it. It had a basketball court.
Before they demo it, I'd love to to walk through there. I know they
find out who the real estate company was and make that happen.
Yeah, I'd like to.
It might be somebody that I know. If
yeah,
it's,
you know everybody.
Well, anyway, I know people in commercial real estate that could maybe make that happen for us.
So anyway, man, just wanted to see if you could do that little project for me.
Absolutely.
Just because my shit's so fucking stale. Do you know how much life that would bring to my show, Brad? Oh, yeah. My God. Just yeah. Getting some, you know,
see,
news
you and
out.
I, we're old school. When we hear, you know, a lot of people nowadays, they don't pay attention. You know, imaging went out. You know, the great programmers nowadays say, oh, imaging, you know, it's not such a priority.
What you put
and
between
say,
the
bullshit.
Shit means just as much as what the shit is.
Absolutely.
Let's bring on the pain. Let's bring on the noise.
Now we turn. Are you happy you listened to me?
The Bubba the Love Spot Show on Howard 101.
Yeah, that's great stuff.
Yep, they phoned that break-in. The Bubba the Love Sponge Show returns after these words on Howard 101.
I mean, now, who produced that?
Carl Harris.
So Carl was with you for a long time.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
You know, Brian, and you know what, Brad James?
That's good production.
You know what Brian James did for me when I first started out?
No charge.
When I first started out in Sirius XM, he's like, you know what, buddy?
No charge.
Not. I'm not going to produce them. Just send them to me, and I'll send them back dry, free of charge. Because you're one of the very few people I loved over there, and two, I'd love the exposure on Sirius XM.
Let me tell you something. What Brian did for me, just real quick. Whenever he would get a call from a station that said that they wanted the stuff produced, not dry, because they didn't have a good in-house producer. He'd come walking down to the hallway, and he'd say, Woody, I got this package, and I'm charging them, you know, $4,500 for a launch package. Will you produce it for $3,000?
He'd take 15 for the voice and give you three.
Yeah, because, you know, that's where the, you
oh,
know,
it takes
him
the majority.
Yeah,
of
it'd take him 10 minutes to lay down all the voice tracks.
One, one, one.
I know what you're thinking now.
Deliciously disgusting.
God.
Brian was great.
One, one, one.
I know what you're thinking now.
Deliciously disgusting.
You're absolutely right.
This is the Bubba the Love Sponge Show.
Boom.
Yeah.
On a lot of that stuff, I could just stop right there.
One, one, one.
I know what you're thinking now.
Deliciously disgusting.
You're absolutely right.
This is the Bubba the Love Sponge Show.
Do you have on the Bubba Radio Network, that?
I have that. I have Tara saying on the Bubba Radio, and I got that on several different places, so we could just piece that on
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Know?
Bubba the Love Sponge Show. Bubba the Love Sponge Show. It's the Bubba the Love Sponge Show. On Howard 101.
I love the...
The Bubba the Love Sponge Show.
Lasker. I got Lasker.
The Howard stuff. Now, that was... Carl produced that stuff, too? Yeah.
No. No. They produced that.
They produced it. Okay.
Carl did all the Brian James deal.
Stop. Think about what you just heard. Pretty fucked up, huh? It's the Bubba the Love Sponge Show.
And
on
Brad,
how-
you know what, Brad? You could beep that.
Yeah.
That would be pretty, right?
Stop. Think about what you just heard. Pretty fucked up, huh?
Yeah,
it's the Bubba the Love Sponge Show on Howard 101.
God.
Great stuff, man.
Oh.
What the dumb fuck mean?
Balls were sufficiently busted in that break.
That's fucked up, man.
Back to the Bubba the Love Sponge Show after this.
Oh, here's a... A bullying one.
I want you to stay on this channel.
More bullying and brutality after this.
That's real nice.
That was a lot of fun.
Man, Carl did a good job, did he not?
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Carl's pretty fucking good. Because what's Woody listens to? Woody's not listening to Brian James.
Right.
He's listening to the
production.
To the production and the bells and the whistles and the transitions, are you not?
Yeah.
I want you to stay on this channel.
More bullying and brutality after this.
That's real nice.
That was the Love Sponge on Howard 101.
Lummy, did you include that one? I hope you did.
And you know what? Nobody's doing good production anymore.
No, nobody's doing.
I don't care what market, because I listen, you know, I listen online to markets all over the country all the time. Just to hear what people are doing. And man, everything is just a straight voice over some kind of little piece of crap stinger or something.
Yep.
It's just
Sponge. The voice of reason has spoken. The Love Sponge. More Bubba the Love Sponge after this.
Boom.
Yeah.
On the Bubba Radio Network.
Got it. Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. That's good stuff, man. Yeah. There's a lot of it there, too. That's, we can make a lot.
Oh, there's so much.
This is what you would call a lose-lose situation.
Who gives a shit?
More of the Bubba the Love Sponge Show after these words on Howard 101.
On the Bubba Radio Network.
It's really good stuff.
Oh, it is.
Go ahead, write a complaint letter.
This is the best. Listen.
Go ahead, write a complaint letter.
Write a complaint letter.
Write a complaint letter. We're out of toilet paper in the men's room. This is the...
It's got Power Pig feel to it,
yeah,
doesn't
it? Yeah, it does. Absolutely.
It's got Power Pig feel to it.
Go ahead, write a complaint letter.
Write a complaint letter.
Write a complaint letter. We're out of toilet paper in the men's room. This is the Bubba the Love Sponge Show on Howard 101.
You know what we used to say about 970 back when Eric Chase was... When Brian went on the air and we brought in Eric Chase and Eric was doing all the imaging... 970's imaging was better than the radio station. In other words, when you listen to the imaging on 970 as a talk station, you thought you were going to listen to this, you know what I'm trying to say?
Eric was unfucking believable.
Yeah, it's like, and then when you listen to the station,
you're
it's like,
oh, this guy's not as good as the imaging.
Yeah, you know.
Achieving new lows for the lowbrow.
You can get a job substitute teaching for retarded kids.
Bubba the Love Sponge Show on Howard 101.
Woody, we used to make fun of podcasting. Listen, and if we had only know, listen.
I don't know. Maybe this should be the swan song.
Just a step above podcasting.
Bubba the Love Sponge
on Howard 101.
I mean, that might still be applicable, right?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, anyway.
Well, radio, I don't care what everybody says, Bubba. I'm always going to defend radio first because you know me, I'm old school. But I still say radio legitimizes podcasting. You know,
absolutely.
You can have the greatest podcast in the world. Now this is, there's a different rule for A-list celebrities.
Yeah, there's a few exceptions.
There are exceptions. Yeah, if you're an A-list celebrity or sports celebrity or whatever, you know, you're going to have, you can have a successful podcast without radio. But just Joe, there's a million Joe and Molly's out there doing podcasts that nobody freaking knows about.
Mm-hmm.
If you say, oh, I do a podcast, I look at people and they say to me, well, I do a podcast. You know, I like to do a radio show. And I think, okay, well, everybody's doing a podcast. So what?
Right.
Radio still legitimizes podcasts.
Well, most everybody in the world can do a podcast.
Absolutely.
Few can do radio.
I was just about to say, 98% of podcasts suck.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the absolute truth.
Well, there's only 5% of podcasting makes money. Did you know that?
No, absolutely, I knew that.
Only 5% of podcasting makes any significant amount of money at all. I'm talking about, you know, $3,000 or more a month.
Yeah.
It's such a now crowded space everything just very few of it's good and most of it sucks.
I'm telling you, that's an understatement. 98% of it sucks.
Right.
Yeah. And but once you're on radio, you've been vetted by somebody else who thinks that your opinion is worth hearing.
Right.
So.
That's right.
More banter about penis envy and the two-fingered cul-de-sac technique after this.
Brad, is that the best? The Love
Sponge. More banter about penis envy and the two-fingered cul-de-sac technique after this. Bubba the Love Sponge on
the Bubba Radio Network.
Unbelievable.
This is what but don't you think, Woody, this will make a huge difference?
Without a doubt.
I mean, instead of saying, you know, blah, 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 we'll be right back.
Yeah, it's time.
And then you hear this.
The Bubba Radio Network will return after this.
That sucks.
Yeah. It's time, no question.
Anyway.
It's time. Yeah. It's time, yeah.
It's time for us to leave. Woody, I love you. You know, you need to come in once a month and we'll just do a State of the Woody or how radio is.
State of the Woody.
Whatever.
I'd love to.
Yeah, seriously. And I know you're, you know, Lummi, he's a fucking huge sports guy. Did you know
yeah,
that?
Oh, yeah.
You should have him on your sports show from time to time.
Every time.
Woody, are you all, I mean, like, are you Lightning, Rays?
Absolutely.
You know all that?
The Rays are 10-0. They
oh, the Rays are on fucking fire.
They are. They. I mean, I don't know. Those first three series, I'm not so, you know.
Hey, man, you win the, you know.
Yeah. They beat Boston last night in a great pitching duel. So.
And we have our number one guy.
And guess what, man? And they're getting a crowd.
Yeah, they are.
And they're getting a crowd.
Oh, you noticed, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you put a winner on the field. That's what happens.
Yeah. Woody, we love you, buddy.
Yes, sir.